Well, friends, it's been a minute since you've heard this. But you know the drill. It's Monday night. It's Toronto. It's the Toronto Beer Podcast. What's happened today? We had an eclipse. We didn't see it. But we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the details. We're going to get into all of it. I'm going to explain where I've been and why I haven't been and what's up with you. But before we do that, even though it's a new season, hey, we still got the same theme. Check out my buddy Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers, won't you please? Won't you please? Hey, what's going on? Remember me? One second. There we go. That's better. Slightly adjust the YouTube camera so that if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the dead leaves behind me. YouTube, still permanently reversed now. That used to really trip me out. Now it's just kind of old hat. Hey, sorry I was away. If you're a regular listener slash viewer of this year's program, you will remember that I decided, not quite the right word there, little rusty right now. You will remember that I stated that I was going to Florida for not one, but two Mondays for March break with my family. I actually got home on that second Monday, if I'm being totally honest, but I knew I wasn't going to feel like recording a podcast. So I'd already excused myself for 2 weeks. What happened after that? Well, the next weekend I had a coaching course to get my level 2 coaching certificate from World Rugby. Mission accomplished. Still have some work to do on it, but that part's done. The class part, done, passed, happy. But it was a bit of a weekend, and my North Star, my beloved Miss Erica, also was on a different course that weekend, learning how to stick pins into people. She was taking an acupuncture course. By the way, those pins go a lot deeper than I thought, and I've been struggling with it ever since, but I digress. Both of us were so over everything at that point. By that Monday, I didn't feel like recording a podcast, so I just didn't. And then it was Easter Monday, and that brings us to today. So that's what happened. And so apologies for an unplanned month-long hiatus. But hey, doesn't it feel good to be back? Ooh, it's got that new podcast smell in here. No, that's not what it smells like at all. But anyway, if you're curious, what it smells like is slightly of eucalyptus. Because I went to the gym before dinner and put some eucalyptus oil in the water in the sauna. So that happens. Anyway, what have I got for you? Oh, tonight, so much to talk about. Not least the non-clips, as I've just decided to call it. No, the eclipse happened. We just couldn't see it in Toronto due to cloud cover. I got to see a lot of the part just before and a lot of the stuff after. But when it was fully dark, it was cloudy and you couldn't see a thing. It did get very dark. I'm not going to lie. It was like... It wasn't even just dusky. It was like nighttime. It was very dark. But anyway, a fun mental diversion today, the eclipse and whatnot. And yeah, we'd gotten the glasses and all that. Didn't need them. No, I saw partial eclipse stuff through clouds, which between the clouds and my sunglasses was sufficient that I didn't burn my eyes out. So that was fun. Anyway, how was your eclipse? Did you spend it with people you love? Did you have to work? I feel both those. Anyway, let's drink a beer, and then I've actually got some brewery news you can use, and some other stuff to talk about. But before we do that, this is what we're all here for, right there. What do we got here? This is a can of. I'm actually just reading the label in the camera right now. This is Center Cut number 3. Not to be confused with Center Cuts numbers 1 and 2. I believe I've actually had, at least one of the two of them. Oh, Justin says Port Burwell was completely clear skies. I have heard this. Apparently over Lake Erie, when totality hit, it was like wide open blue, perfect view of the eclipse, which funny enough, The eclipse that took place in 2017, you know, 7 years ago, these once in a lifetime events that happened 7 years ago and also today, it was in August and we were actually out in Sandbanks camping and we viewed it from the beach at Sandbanks and it was completely clear skies and it was unreal. It was really quite special. That said, today, weather happens. What can you do? They apparently had pretty good views east of here, too. It was basically just Toronto that got it all wrong. So go figure. I'm willing to bet the Ford government probably had something to do with this. I don't know what, but I'm betting it's their fault. Anyway, back to the beer in question. Center cut from left field. Exploratory IPA series. That's what it says right there. 6% alcohol. Not for the faint of heart. I know a little bit about these. It's exploratory. What they're doing is they're messing around with a hop. Often a hop they've never had before. Or a new harvest of a hop or something like that. I've intentionally not read the label or the website on these. I bought these on Saturday when I went to the brewery while Ben was at rugby training just up the road. Had a really nice visit, too. Hadn't actually gone in and sat down for a while. Took Ginger. I've forgotten what it was called. It was a fruit IPA. And I got to tell you, fruit IPA, not a regular order for me, but this one was really nice. A good amount of hoppy bitterness cutting through the, I think, passion fruit. Is it called Crushed? It might have been called Crushed. It had an exclamation point in the name. Anyway, I grabbed these. I've been drinking them. Like, this isn't a totally blind taste. I haven't spent some time with it in, you know, a fancy schmancy glass. So, with that in mind, I'm going to spend some time with it in a fancy schmancy glass. I do not know what the hop varietal is, but we're going to give it a once over and see what we see. I'm not going to fill it all the way because I like a little... Oh, kids. Sorry, kids at home. Oh, I forgot to do the pour for you. This is what it looks like now that I poured it. It is hazy. Yeah. Yeah. We would even say opaque. Kind of yellowy, orangey in the middle. Nice little white head. So it looks like an IPA to me. A New World IPA, that is. Particularly more on the east side of the New World, but we don't have to split hairs on this one. Give it a little swirl in the glass here. Let's see. I mean... It smells like Citra. Like a lot like Citra. Just looking at the... I'm not reading the label. I'm just looking at the front. Yeah, I mean, it smells exactly like Citra to me. It's citrusy. Go figure. But specifically, it's like white grapefruit juice... Maybe a little white grape, like touching on white, not quite white wine, but like a vinous-y kind of grape kind of thing. Which, you remember when people used to complain that Citra smelled like cat pee if you used it wrong? That was that. That's what we're talking about. That's that's in relation to that white winey thing. It's the way that... Brettanomyces can go from sort of funky, earthy barnyard through to like kind of rancid horse sweat. Same progression. Anyway. Yeah, so like I'm saying, like grapefruit juice, not even too much peel, a bit of peel maybe, and some like white grape, white wine. By the way, friends, the reason why I'm being really specific and saying white grape and then kind of and white wine, I know that most white wines are made with red grapes that have just had the skins removed, okay? You're preaching to the choir here. So, just cool your jets. This has got a little tropical-y thing going on. You know, I said passion fruit a minute ago because I was talking about that IPA I had. Is it passion fruity? Or guava-y, maybe? Maybe actually touching on a little kiwi-like, because there's a brightness to whatever it is I'm smelling. Also, by the way, orange juice. It smells like orange juice. Not majorly, but it's in there. I'm really looking to see if there's any like piney or evergreeny notes, and there really isn't. And that's, again, kind of consistent with Citra. You can get a little depending, but man, in this video here, this vein in my forehead, which it's really hard to trace doing this backwards, I think that's getting more pronounced. That's weird. Anyway, so tropically. Oh, yeah. I can't do a skin reset because my skin smells like eucalyptus. Well, at least now I can smell eucalyptus. Yeah, man. It does smell a lot like Citra. All right, let's take it. I've tasted this before, but like I said, I didn't stick my nose in and give it a lot of thought. It's a really good IPA, just spoiler alerts. Mm-hmm. Tastes like Citra. White grapefruit juice, grapefruit peel for sure. Some orange juice, definitely. Some of that white wine that I'm talking about, the white, grapey, white winey. Maybe a little earthy that I wasn't picking up on the nose. It's almost like damp forest kind of floor. Almost. Maybe just a bit. Not like as much as you would get off of like Simcoe or something, but maybe a little. By the way, the body's fantastic. I'm assuming there's oats in here. Probably wheat, too. I don't actually taste the wheat, but there's a real nice density to it. And it's hazy as AF, as some kids would say. Yeah, that tropically note, not so kiwi on the palate, almost more like mango-y. But yeah, mostly grapefruit peel, orange juice, white wine. It's Citra. it very well could be Citra. I'm just saying, I don't know. It's supposed to be experimental and stuff, right? It says right, exploratory IPA series. What, exploring Citra? Yeah, are you being a tourist in your own town, as people like to say when they don't want to pay to go on holiday? By the way, I'm one of those people. It's so delicious. Well, the other thing is, actually, having said that, I think I might be wrong, and here's why. This is, I think, why I think I'm wrong. I think this is a different hop. I think it's a hop that's very Citra. It might even be a descendant of Citra. If you haven't looked into how they breed these things, it's a little bit like weed. I've joked about this about Pineapple Express. But yeah, they'll take either through grafting, I think, but also through actual breeding and cross out different varieties to get new varieties. That's what happens in the horticultural world. And hops are an agrarian product, part of the horticultural world. Anyway, why I say that is I've had single hop IPAs made with Citra. And what you run into to... Actually, I don't even know if it's a single hop, to be honest with you. It just says it's an exploratory IPA series. So I might be totally crazy. It might be Citra and something else. It's not Citra and, Citra and Mosaic. I can tell you that for free. My experience when... I'm going with this, that it's single, and why at least I said that. My experience with a single hop Citra IPA is to get to this level of aromatics off of Citra, you start to run into... Oh, hey, Anthony. Good to see you. You start to run into... There's a... You know, I talk a little bit about like when hops get a little cheesy. You can get a bit of that off of Citra. And the other thing is you can get this minerality, which not in the way that we talk about minerality in wine. More like... chalky isn't quite the right word, but that's closer to what I'm talking about. It's almost more of a mouth feel than a flavor. And I don't get any of that. This is just a really, really good IPA. Yeah. Oh, man. If this isn't Citra, if this is a different hop, everybody needs to use this hop in IPAs, and I'll just drink them. Just like that. This is fine. It's better than fine. That's the point. This is fantastic. It's just... I haven't really even given you the full overview. I did talk a little bit about the body. It's got a really nice velvety body. Again, pretty sure there's probably oats in here. Maybe wheat as well. Just super aromatic and not particularly bitter. There's not a lot of physical bitterness on my palate. This is very much like an East Coast execution of whatever this is. Yeah, the finish is just this really nice, softly tropical, but it doesn't come across as fruit juicy. There's enough bitterness that it's beer-like. As far as malt flavors go, I mean, it's a little malty, but couldn't tell you much else about that. Like I say, I'm really looking... One of the problems is when you are dealing with a sort of a juicy, hoppy beer, wheat kind of gets hidden more than in other styles. I think there's probably wheat in here. But yeah, I mean, especially for 6% alcohol IPA, this is very approachable. And whether this is Citra or something else, I think this is doing a very good job of both showing what this hop is capable of, but also having done this in a way that shows a real understanding of whatever it is. Because the balance on this is really good. And again, this is like a, they're not quite one-offs, but this isn't like a regular beer. So the expectation is maybe they piloted it on a small system before they went to the full-size production brew to try and figure out a little bit like what the times and timings of the additions were going to be. But like, this is really, 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 really good. Just the way it is. I really like this. Okay. I want to have another sip and then, oh, well, there's a bit of information on the back of the can. Hang on one second. Right out of the gate. I'm right. By the way, ballpark pairings, rotisserie chicken and tangy slaw sandwich. I got to tell you, I think Mark and Mandy go to some pretty bougie ballparks. This is my theory. Never seen that for offer at my local ballpark. But this is where I was right. The ingredients say water, malted barley, wheat, oats, and then, of course, hops and yeast. What's this say on the side? There's really small print here. It's kind of dark in here. Maybe if I turn a little, I can get into my ring light. Oh, here we go. This is really hard to read, though. The third brew of this exploratory IPA series showcases the ever-popular Citra hop. Hey, winner, winner, ooh. I still got it, guys. I don't have great night vision anymore. Getting this on exactly the right angle where I can read it is challenging. Okay, sorry. Showcases the ever-popular Citra hop. Yakima Chief's new high extract hop oil was added to the whirlpool. Oh. And we dry hopped with their frozen fresh Citra cryo hops. And then in brackets, flash frozen at harvest and processed for maximum lupulin extraction. I like my lupulin extraction to be maximized, personally. Combined with our usual pelletized Citra hops, this all-Citra IPA is bursting with bold aromas and flavors of grapefruit, lime, and tropical fruit. Okay? That's great to hear. I'm not losing my mind. I kind of understand why I got tripped up. Don't know if I'm going in on lime on that one. Lime, eh? Maybe lime peel. But lime peel and white grapefruit peel occupy a significant overlap in the Venn diagram of citrus. Anyway, can't disagree. They're smart. I'm dumb. Tropical, I agree, because it's a little hard to pin down exactly what that tropical thing is, but it's a thing for sure. By the way, I don't know anything about some of that stuff. What was the oil thing? High extract hop oil. That sounds like the hash equivalent of hops. Anyway, why I bring it up, and they dry hopped with a cryo. So they used regular Citra hops in the brew. In the whirlpool, they squeezed in some hop oil, and then they dry hopped it with a cryo pellet. Did they say it was pelletized? It just says frozen fresh Citra cryo hops. Maybe that's whole leaf. My point, and again, what I think was kind of tripping me up is I've had all Citra IPAs and they didn't get the execution this right. And I have a feeling it's because utilizing those Citra but differently prepared ingredients has allowed them to get a lot more aromatics out of the hop without getting a lot of the alphas and proteins and stuff. So that's my guess. I assume I'm right. Mark and or Mandy or anybody from left field, you want to message me and tell me I'm wrong? I'm here for you. I am here for it. Anyway, this is really, really good. Would I eat this with a rotisserie chicken and tangy slaw sandwich? Well, personally, no, don't eat the rotisserie chicken part. This is one of those classic IPAs. By the way, that doesn't sound bad, especially the tangy slaw. The tangy slaw is going to work well here because a lot of these fruity notes tend towards sourness. There isn't actually, of course, a lot of acidity in this beer particularly compared to any other IPA, but that tangy slaw, they're going to play well together. It's good. And then also the freshness of this IPA cut through that rotisserie chicken like a hot knife through rotisserie chicken. What direction would I go? I mean, I would go in a similar direction. I think this would actually be a really good sandwich beer. I would probably go for something maybe not crazy spicy, but like what's the that it's so hot right now, the Korean sauce. Gochujang, something like that. I've forgotten what it's called. If you have one of those that isn't too spicy, I don't want it to be too spicy with this beer. This beer has some bitterness, a really nice amount actually, to play with the citrusy notes. But compared to like a West Coast IPA, this is nothing, right? It does not have a lot of alpha acids to play with here. So we're not going for like high spice. But that sauce, which I think it's actually a paste and then it gets made into a sauce, if I'm not correct. There's a lot of cool things happening there, is my point. There's some nice spices. It's a little smoky too, depending on which ones you get. And I think in a juxtaposition way with the citrus, that's going to work really well. Now, what you put that on, if you want crispy fried chicken, get after it. I did a really cool sandwich a while back with like as if it was crispy fried chicken, but with oyster mushrooms. No, gnocchi mushrooms. I think it was gnocchi mushrooms. You could do that. That's a great vegan alternative. But then again, I'm loving that slaw. So put that on a bun with some slaw. That's going to work really well. I guess maybe they had to go with the rotisserie chicken because they don't have Korean spiced fried crispy things on buns. They don't go to that bougie a ballpark. So that's my guess. Super delicious, though. Super delicious. Oh, on that sip, that Venice note's back, by the way. Big time. Yeah, white winey. Like Sauve Blanc, if you want to be really specific. This is Center Cut number 3 Exploratory IPA Series, which I now know 100% Citra. In different forms, 100% Citra. Available at Left Field Brewery right now. Probably also at their new location in Liberty Village. Don't know. Still haven't been. Need to get there. Now that it's warming up a bit. Let's make that happen, left field. It's a date. Let me have a sip and then segue. Which is to say, I wanted to have that sip of beer and then segue to a different idea, as opposed to I wanted that sip and also a Segway motorized scooter. No interest in one of them. I have a bicycle. I have two, actually. Is two bikes too many? They're very different bikes. They're both beautiful. I digress. I was saying this is probably available at their location in Liberty Village. Hey, you know who's got a new location? Our friends at Muddy York. Well, we all knew that. They're moving up to Stouffville. Moved now, past tense. Good news, friends. And this isn't piping hot, fresh news. I think I saw this sometime last week, but it's worth mentioning. If you are in the Stouffville area, get yourself over to Muddy York. The retail store is open, so you can go buy beer from them. For a while there, you can only get it via order, but they now have that retail space set up and operating, and there would be no better way to welcome them to the community than to head on in there and buy yourself, get yourself some of the Gaslight Helles. Do it. It's so good. Or what's the porter's name? It's got a clever name, too. I've forgotten, but the porter's real good. I know the Stork Derby Stout. Don't know if that's a regular item anymore, but it's a tasty stout. When I was in for the grand finale party, Jeff gave me a real, real good IPA that I was right up on. That was tasty stuff. But anyway, good news from our friends Muddy York. Very, very happy to hear you are operational up there. And that's another place I'm going to have to get myself up to, hopefully this summer. In the warm. I do know people up that way, so that makes it a bit easier. I don't know people in Liberty Village. I'm sure I do, but it's different. You know, I don't need a justification like that to go to Liberty Village. What else? There was something else. I've forgotten. This is why I'm supposed to make notes. I know I had two pieces of brewery beer scene news, and, it's gone. It is gone. Hey, you know, I was listening to a podcast today. Listen to podcasts every weekday while I'm working. But was listening to those old rascals, Ben and Chris, over on the Beer and BS podcast. And they had a fun one. They were being really coy about it. But anybody with a brain knows that they got stiffed by Jordan St. John. And so they just had to do a fun Two Dudes Talking podcast, and I gotta be honest with you, I mean, I like Jordan, and I sure would have enjoyed hearing them have a conversation with him, but I had a ton of fun just listening to them banter. But I do have one bone of contention that I need to pick, and I'm a little worried. I don't want to become one of their enemies. There was a lot of talk about people who've become their enemies in that episode. But I'm going to risk it and say Ben Johnson's recipe for a margarita is not great. It's not a margarita would be the problem. So shots fired, Ben. Pooh, 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 pooh. Margarita has to have some sort of orange flavored liqueur in it. It has to. I get that you seem to have some sort of hate on for triple sec, and apparently Contro is triple sec's poor man's triple sec. Have you actually checked the prices on this? Because I think what you'll find is it's actually significantly more expensive, but I digress. You know, could you use blue Curacao? Yeah, you could. That's fine. It's orange flavored. It does make your margarita kind of blue, but that's fine. That's kind of fun. You can even, if you feel bougie, use a little Grand Marnier. But margarita does have to have some sort of orange liqueur in it. To his recipe, by the way, and I'm doing this from memory, so Ben, apologies if I get this wrong, was I believe it was 3 parts tequila to 1 part lime juice to 1/2 part agave syrup. Whew, that is a sweet margarita. Sweet margarita. That sounds like you're cursing almost, like you stubbed your toe and said sweet margarita, but also not a margarita. Cause again, as noted, nothing orange in there, nothing orange. That just isn't going to fly, man. That does not work. You want a classic margarita. You're on the right track. You're on the right track. I personally like them like this. I like it's a 3-2-1. So I like 3 parts tequila, 2 parts lime juice, 1 part triple sec or Contro. I prefer Contro. I find it, it's not bitter, but there's more nuance from the bitterness of the orange. Triple sec's just, it tastes like an orange popsicle that's thawed with alcohol. It's not bad, but it's not exciting. Take that, shake it, and then pour it. Strained if you're fancy, but you don't have to. I actually like little bits of pulp and bits of ice in mine. That's great. Salt the rim if you like. That works fine if you want a classic. If you want a margarita that you make by the pitcher and that you drink a lot of and you get like real stupid and then have a real bad headache the next day, well, you came to the right place. What you're going to do, you're going to go and you're going to get a Minute Maid. Don't mess around with No Name here. All right. No Name's great for the most part, but their frozen juice things, all wrong. You need the Minute Maid because you need the cylinder. You're going to get the Minute Maid Limeade, frozen concentrate. Okay. You with me? Good. You're going to take that. Okay. Oh, we haven't even talked about tequila, by the way. The tequila should be at most an añejo, most of the time blanco. If you're getting a reposado out, you're a douchebag and you shouldn't be making a margarita. Just drink that. Just sip it like whiskey. No, we want an añejo or a blanco. It has to be 100% agave. So no salsa, right? No El Jimador. No, wait, Jimador is fine. What's the other one? Salsa or Jose? Cuervo, Jose Cuervo, not 100% agave. Don't mess around with that. El Jimador, 100% agave. Get after it. That's great. We had one in the States while we were in Florida. We made some with this exact recipe, by the way. No, that's not true. I think I used fresh lime. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Really nice tequila. Can't remember the name of it. Didn't take photos. But got it at Total Wine, and it's won all sorts of awards. And their Blanco, the guy was like, this is like the best tequila you'll ever make a margarita with, and I think it was like $22 for the bottle, but that was American, so probably a bit closer to 30, but come on, $30 for a bottle of tequila, 100% agave. Ooh, and it was nice. Anyway, back on track. With this in mind, and still, even though this is a garbage tequila, not a garbage tequila, a garbage margarita recipe, you gotta use good tequila, or why are we even having this conversation? Right? Right. Cool. You got your Minute Maid lime concentrate. Okay, you're going to open that. You're going to put all that lime concentrate in your blender pitcher. Okay, you need a blender for this, by the way. Jimmy Buffett did not write songs about shaking margaritas. Just saying. You're going to pour that in your blender pitcher. Cool. You're going to take that container that the concentrate came out of. You're going to fill that. I mean, not like to the planar top, but you're basically going to fill that up with tequila. Okay, it's a lot of tequila. I told you. We're making bad choices tonight, guys. Pour that in the blender. This next one gets a little bit tricky because it depends if you're using Contro or Triple Sec or something else. If I'm using Triple Sec, I do about a half of the concentrate container of Triple Sec. If I'm doing Contro, it'll be a little bit less than that. I don't need as much when I use Contro. Pour that in. Then top the blender up with ice and blend until so delightfully smooth. By the way, you can blend it for longer than you think because most of what's in there is alcohol and it will cool down a lot. It won't really melt the ice. It's really nice. So then you're going to pour that into your glasses, salted or not. I don't bother, but if you like that, get after it. And if you're a little bougie and you want, if you pour a dash of Grand Marnier on top, that's just so special. These incidentally work really well with blue curacao as well, and to make blue margaritas, real good. The point of the story is, if I need to become an enemy of the Beer and BS podcast, so be it. Margaritas have to have orange in them. You can come at me, Ben. We can go head to head sometime. Come on down to the beach. I was going to say, we'll all come out to your pool deck. Let's be honest, that's probably not going to happen. Come on down to the beach. You can mix up your little lime tequila concoction. I'll make a pitcher of filthy margaritas and we'll compare. And maybe we'll get a general consensus of the people around us on the beach. I know who's going to win. You need orange. You need it. I might accept yours if you used orange bitters. Maybe. But you gotta tone down that agave syrup, man. That stuff is thick. Ugh. Anyway. Hey, guys. Good to be back. I'm gonna have another sip of this here beer. Just got a message that my son Ben needs some help with math homework, so I'm gonna tap out. Go do that. And I can't see any reason why we won't be back next week. So, be back next week. By the way, did you notice? This is a new season. Because I thought a whole month off. We were up to 12 episodes on the last season anyway. F it. Let's do it. Let's go. Oh, I didn't tell you any stories from Florida. Really quickly, I mainly drank PBR and Hi-Li from Cigar City. Went to a really cool restaurant. Hi-Li was on tap. That was nice. There was another one from another brewery in Naples. Also a very good IPA. Enjoyed that immensely. Did not wander the aisle of Total Wine like a kid in a candy store. Did grab a couple of other things occasionally, but for the most part, drank a lot of PBR and a lot of Hi-Li, and more Hi-Li than PBR. I was a very, very happy camper. Spent a lot of time on the beach, a lot of time outside. Oh, it was fantastic. What a life. Anyway, that's me. I'm going to go do some math, working with parabolas. So that's fun. And I will be back next week. In the meantime, take a listen to my buddy Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers. You have yourself a great night.